Strangers in the Wood is an actual play series drawing elements from gothic fairy tales and 80s fantasy and sci-fi action and horror films. As such, a list of content warnings will always be made available in the description.
Dakota, we gotta get out. Come on.
Get out where?
I don't know, but we gotta get out. Come on. Please, you're scaring me.
She turns and says, take her in the bathroom. There's some water in the mini fridge. She's gonna need a lot of fluids.
I help Dakota over toward the bathroom then.
I think he just, like, gets on one side of them and just, like, goes, like, under and just, like, looking up at the woman just, like, with a look on his face, just kind of like, are you serious? Like, you really want me to do this? Like...
She cleans the wound, stitches it up, thin cauterizes it, and then, like, kind of disinfects it again. And then, like, maybe does a splint so you don't move your leg enough to undo the stitches for right now.
She was made by... the sublime, or made by whatever made the sublime, and she exists to serve a purpose, and I tweaked that purpose a little bit.
I don't get it.
Yeah, I know, it's kind of confusing. How long do you think you can hide from me?
The game has changed, Walter.
It has.
No more kitty gloves.
And you hear the click on the other end of the phone, and you hear the slamming of a door shut as the bathroom door behind you, where Dakota is, shuts and locks.
Oh?
Oh?
Don't like that. I get up from the bed and I run over to the bathroom door.
Yeah, Walter does too.
The two of you run over to the bathroom door. You're trying at the handle, but it's like jammed to the point where like it doesn't even turn. Let's cut to the inside of this bathroom really quick. Dakota.
Hi.
Hi. You're in the bathtub.
Whoa.
Whoa. Who would have guessed? So Dakota, you are currently in the bathtub. I imagine you wake up to the sound of the door slamming shut. You are groggy. Your body is tired. There is an aching, piercing pain in your leg. And you are waking up in a place that, like, you don't remember coming into here, I'm sure. This whole situation is very disorienting, I would imagine. And yeah, so you wake up in this bathtub, your, like, pant leg kind of pulled up and torn, and the door has slammed, and you can hear on the other side, probably Walter and Dorothy kind of yelling out, like, struggling with the door handle. What do you do?
I imagine as the door slams, Dakota kind of jolts, and they're, like, trying to, like, move and, like, pushing, like, their palms into, like, the bottom of what I imagine is this... bathtub where you have the random circles of different grit, like pushing and like dragging against their palms as they kind of push themselves to sit up in this tub and look around and see like what I assume would be a dingy motel bathroom.
It's a little dingy. I don't know if I fully describe this place. It's dingy in the way that one would probably imagine a classic motel bathroom, but no dirtier than that. It looks like a place that once looked really nice. It looks a bit dated, where I'm imagining like the wallpaper is like two color pinstriped, where like the stripes are like encircled with like vines, and like they're probably like small birds hidden in the design of the wallpaper. But it's also like faded from over time and like cigarette stained in certain areas. So yeah, that's the kind of vibe we're dealing with here.
I got you. Dakota looks around, the room kind of spinning, and like the sound of the of Walter and Dorothy knocking on the door, kind of being drowned out by like their focus being driven towards their leg.
Yeah.
And Dakota looks at their leg and notices the pant leg cut open, and kind of like takes like one of their forefingers and like flaps it back and forth, and it's like, oh man.
Aww.
And starts to like look and sees like the blood soaked bandage, I imagine.
Mm-hmm.
And touches their finger to it and like jolts in reaction to like feeling the pain against it. I imagine Dakota starts to hear them pounding on the door and kind of like grumbles like, Walter. And tries to like use the edge of the tub to start push themselves up, and I imagine as they come to their feet, a pain shoots up their leg, and they let out a yell in the bathroom and kind of lean against the wall, looking around the bathroom to find the break that they had.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure they brought the break in with you. I imagine it's like laying against like the bathroom sink in here.
Got you. I would assume that Dakota kind of uses the wall to support themselves and reaches out for the break, once again, taking it in their hand and using it to support that leg, keeping weight off of it as they walk to the bathroom mirror and look into it.
You see a kind of stained bathroom mirror, and you see a really roughed up, tired, like blood drained, like I imagine like they're looking pretty pale right now, haven't really gotten all the fluids back in them that they need, and so you see this just like tired, exhausted version of you looking back at you.
Dakota starts running water, and with their free hand starts splashing water on their face, and then uses a towel and like grabs the closest towel as soon as hanging on a rack.
Yeah.
And kind of puts it to their face, and they sit there for a moment thinking, the memories kind of catching back up to them, them kind of realizing what happened and like the situation they're in.
As you're doing that, you're like hearing the banging on the door and stuff, but like that kind of, for whatever reason, that sound feels like it's starting to get muffled a little bit, for you're not quite sure why, and like just over it, you hear this voice go, "Weak. You're so weak."
Dakota takes the towel from their face and like looks over like their shoulder, like where the sound is coming from.
As you look over your shoulders, like there's like no one there, and you look back and you see your reflection not quite matching up with your movements. And then you can tell, because now you're seeing it happen as it does, the Dakota in the mirror goes, "You're pathetic. Let her get the drop on you like that? Come on."
"I had it under control."
"Did you?
They distracted me."
"Who?"
"Dorothy and Walter, like always."
"They weren't even there." "You were outside by yourself."
"They had some explosion inside."
"Uh-huh. And that's your excuse? That didn't distract her."
"I could have had her."
"Yeah, but you didn't."
"Yeah, maybe that's true."
What do Walter and Dorothy hear from outside?
Do you guys just keep banging on the walls, or do you guys like stop and like try to listen in?
I don't think Walter could do much in terms of
banging on the wall. Yeah, that's
banging fair. On the yeah.
That's so fair. If you listen in,
I was about to say, I think like I would stop banging on the door once I heard Dakota like in pain. But I would keep like maybe calling out every so often, be like, "Dakota? Dakota?"
Yeah, you guys can hear her talking, but you're only really hearing Dakota talk. you don't hear the other side of this conversation.
I'd go quiet once I heard my name then.
Gotcha.
Once I heard, yeah.
Gotcha.
So now I'm just listening at the door, yeah.
Yeah. I was going to let them drag you down like that, if they are the distraction.
They're not dragging me down. I just have to tone things back around Dorothy.
Why?
Because she, I don't want her to see anything she shouldn't see.
Well, I mean, you're already here. She saw you get shot. So, like, you guys fought a giant spider monster. You were thrown against a television. You all were trapped in a trunk. Like, come on. That time has passed. She's not a little kid anymore. And even if she is, so what? That's not your problem. She's not your sister.
Yeah, I know she isn't.
Then...
You're right.
I know. So what are you going to do about it?
Same thing I've always done. Like you said, I'm not weak.
Prove it.
Dakota, you all right in there? No one said you were weak.
Dakota kind of starts like tapping like the brake cane like on the tile, kind of trying to alleviate frustration and anger.
You know, this driver lady?
Yeah.
You could beat her.
Oh, I know I can.
I'm talking about in the future. I think you can beat her, but you're going to have to wait. That leg, you're not doing anything on that leg.
I beat up two kids with a broken nose before. I can take some lady.
Well, you've lost to her. I was going to say twice. But technically, you won the first one. I'll give you that. With Walter's help, though.
Listen, Dad made me tough. And I know I'm tougher than her. Or anyone in this stupid fucking town. I'm not going to let them push me around.
Then don't. Don't let them. But be smart about it. You can push back. You can fight. But they don't fight clean. Why should you? Wait. Wait until she lets her guard down. Wait until she thinks you're chummy. Learn from her. Find out where she keeps her things. Then you get her. Catch her off guard. Just like she did you.
What about them?
Them? You think they'll care if you take out this driver, bitch?
They're the ones who brought her here.
Yeah.
You heard them talking about some wish, and then all of a sudden she shows up and shoots me?
Probably not a coincidence.
It obviously isn't.
So... what are you going to do about it?
Dorothy's a kid. She doesn't know better. But Walter does.
The you in the mirror shrugs. Some people got to learn a lesson.
Dakota kind of just like looks in the mirror for a minute and then like looks at the door and starts to walk to the door.
Okay. You walk to the door. I imagine you unlock it, open it. It doesn't like fight you at all. Like you unlock it and unlocks.
Dakota, I mean, Dakota's tall. And
sorry, the moment that I that Dakota's coming back toward the door, I scurried back over to the bed.
Okay.
I imagine that as I open the door, Walter's still there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I imagine Dakota towers like over you and looks down, and when I say glares, that's with a capital G at you.
Walter. Walter backs up a little bit.
Oh, where are you going, Walter?
I'm just giving you some space.
Oh, space. You gave me plenty of space. And Dakota takes a step forward. And then Dakota, assuming as I step, I can kind of see into the room, right?
Yeah, you can see Dorothy sitting on the bed. You see that the driver is nowhere to be found.
Mm-hmm. Dakota, once again, glares over at Dorothy as well, and then turns back to Walter. Huh. Where's that driver you guys got so chummy with so quick?
She's out.
Oh, out. A step forward towards Walter. What do you mean by out?
Look, you gotta understand. She's on our side. I
know. Oh, is she, Walter? A step forward.
I know that's hard to. Walter is stepping back now. I know that's hard to believe, but when I used the wish, I don't know how to explain it.
You don't know how to explain it, huh? Interesting how you don't have the words for it.
I saw some stuff. She's not real.
She feels real to me. Takes another step forward, this time kind of faltering, and I assume, you know, once again a pain shoots up their leg, and they kind of stumble and groan, like, ah! And then bring their posture back up.
I run over towards... both of you, and I don't know, you could see the hesitation in Dorothy's face from getting that glare before, but the concern as well, seeing you stumble like that.
Dakota, you shouldn't be moving around.
I shouldn't be doing a lot of things. Just like you, Dorothy.
Dakota.
Dorothy's right. You need to lie down. You shouldn't be putting weight on that thing. Not yet.
Oh, lie down and wait for her to come back, huh?
Look, she's gonna help. I mean, she's not gonna help us necessarily. I mean, she's good.
Interesting that you don't have a story for this one.
She's not going to hurt us anymore.
For some reason, I don't believe that. And Dakota kind of takes, like, the brake cane and use it to kind of, like, point at their leg.
Yeah, look, I get it. That was fucked up. But she was trying to hurt you then, and now she has a different target.
Oh, so we're just going to let this psycho, and we're going to enable them to go shoot other people, I guess? That's a novel idea.
She's not a real person. Look, I saw the whole Sublime. I saw everything about it. Not everyone here is real. She's not real. She exists to hurt people.
She's doing a good job of it. And what are you talking about, Walter?
I wished to know everything about the Sublime, and I got my wish. I saw it.
Well, then indulge me, Walter. What do you know?
Dakota, stop it.
Dorothy, I've heard enough from you.
No, Dakota, stop it. You're being mean.
Yeah, I am.
Why are you being mean? Walter's done everything to help us, and now you're suddenly just going to be mean to him?
Dakota, like, leans down, like, kind of hunching over, like, using the cane to support their weight.
I put myself between Dakota and Walter.
Dakota's, like, leaning in, like, into like, Dakota's, like, or Dorothy's face.
Okay, great.
And is like, maybe I'm being mean because someone doesn't want me around anymore.
Maybe someone doesn't want you around anymore because you're always mean.
Seems like an unbreakable cycle. Do you ever think that maybe...
Dakota, you know how much I am risking to get you home?
Then stop.
You think I don't want you around? I want to get you home.
You don't have to.
I know I don't have to.
What do you mean, Dakota? I thought we were going home.
Well, I never asked for Walter's help. I don't need him to show me the way. I don't need anyone.
Where are you going then? Where are you gonna go?
Away from here.
If you left this building right now, tell me, what direction would you go? Where would you go? How long would you last on that leg?
I don't know. Honestly.
Even if your leg was fine, how long do you think you would get before you're wrapped in vines or turned into something fucking horrible? How long do you think you've got here before you're dead or like me? Or worse?
I'm gonna die no matter where I am. If it's in here, or if it's back home, it doesn't really seem to matter.
As the two of you are yelling at each other, Dorothy, I think something catches your eye. I think you get a quick glimpse as you're like kind of just like looking back and forth between like these two people yelling, or maybe you're just looking at Dakota. I'm not quite sure. But in the hallway that like kind of leads towards the bathroom, there's like a mirror, essentially, like a like one of those long mirrors that are like hanging on the wall. And I think from like looking at it, or like kind of in the peripheral, you notice something kind of moving in the background, like behind where like you and Walter are through the window. If you catch a glimpse of Elsie outside of the motel room, you all can continue.
Oh gosh.
This is fucked up.
And then I say Dakota looks down at Dorothy and then like looks her in the eyes and is like, I am going to die in here. And I'm going to get you home. Because that's what I'm supposed to do.
Why are you dying here? That's not part of the plan.
Because what's going to happen, Dorothy? Obviously, you don't want to be home with you.
Why do you hate me so much? What did I ever do to you?
Dorothy, let's get a few things straight.
No, Why are you just... You hate everybody, and you just push everybody away. And all I want is a sister, and you just keep pushing me away. And now you're pushing Walter away as well. You push the Abbots away, you push me away, you push Walter away. Why do you push everybody away?
Do you ever think that I don't want you? I'm not your sister. I'm not Hazel. I'm not a girl, and I'm not weak. And then Dakota shoves the brake through like the motel room wall.
I'll let it happen. I'm not even gonna let it. No roll necessary. It happens. You put a hole in this wall.
Walter just like watches that happen, and he just says, "Yeah, you're not weak. Of course you're not weak. you're 100 times stronger than anybody. Even when I was human, you're stronger than I was then. Don't ever think you're weak. So what are you going to do with it? You're strong. You know what you are, and you know what you're not. So what are you going to do with who you are?
The moment that Dakota says that they're not Dorothy's sister, that they're not Hazel, Dorothy's going to run outside to go look for Elsie.
Dorothy, you run off, you know, unlocking the door and then like slamming it behind you. And as you come out into the, you know, walkway of the motel, you see Elsie. She is standing over by the large window of the motel room, turning to look at you like from the sound of the door. And she looks a little worse for wear. Her like jacket and like all of her clothes are dirty. You see like bits of cobweb and stuff still stuck in her hair. And she looks at you in the way that immediately lets you know that she's been so scared and so lost and frightened, and like after having finally found you, looks so relieved. And she immediately runs up to you and like just takes you up in this big hug. And she's like, you can hear she's kind of sobbing as like her head is like right there next to your ear. She says, Dorothy, I thought I wouldn't find you again.
Elsie, where were you? I looked for you everywhere in the spider den. You weren't there. And
I got wrapped up by spiders and they took me. And I don't know. It was really dark. And they took me somewhere. And then like all of the spiders, I don't know what happened, but they got real scared and they all left. And then there was fire, I think. And
I'm glad you made it out. I'm sorry.
I'm glad you made it out.
I didn't know. I'm sorry. I thought you were just with me.
It's okay. I'm sorry that we got separated. I'm just glad you're okay. And she goes and she, like, tightens the embrace a little more.
I don't know what to do, Elsie.
What's wrong?
Dakota hates me. She always has. She doesn't want to be my sister. She doesn't want me.
I'm sorry.
Nobody wants me.
That's not true. I want you.
Well, I think you're the only one.
She pulls back, is holding you by the shoulders and like puts you out like at arm's distance to kind of like get like a better look at your face. She says, we don't need Dakota. We can find someone who wants us. There's so many people here and there's so much, you know, room for us to find someone. Even if it's finding our way back to the Abbots or even finding someone else, we can do it. We don't need Dakota for that.
But I wanted Dakota to want me.
Because she's mean.
She wasn't always.
Just because you didn't see it doesn't mean it wasn't there. Some people hide it. Bury it deep down until they get close to you, and then the ugly parts come out. But that's not your fault. Dakota is mean because Dakota is mean. You didn't do anything wrong. Come on, you want to go to the soda machine? We can get you something to drink.
I should make sure that Walter's okay. Dakota was being kind of scary.
All right, if he says so. I'll wait here for you.
Okay. You could just come with.
I guess. As long as I don't have to talk to Dakota. No, I'm not leaving your side.
Okay.
Okay.
I just want to make sure Walter's okay.
Cutting back to inside the apartment. The two of you are still talking, I imagine?
Yeah. With Walter asking, like, what are you going to do with not being weak? Dakota watches as, like, Dorothy leaves the room. And then turns their, like, gaze back to, like, Walter. Still the break hanging in the wall. Like, kind of, like, you, like, pushing against it to hold themselves up. And it's, like, looks back at Walter and goes, what am I gonna do? Takes the break from the wall and, like, puts it like, into the ground. Like, not, like, puts it into the ground, like, on the ground. With a bit of force. And is like, I am going to cut a path through here. I'm going to get that child home. And after that, I do not care.
Walter says, you know, I don't hate that idea. Let me help you, OK?
okay? I know not every decision I've made has gotten us into a good place, but I need you to trust me.
I can't do that, but I can work with you.
Okay.
I don't care if you don't like me, if Dorothy doesn't like me, I don't care anymore. Do we have an understanding?
I need you to understand a few things first. First of all, if you're going to work with me, you need to listen to me, okay?
Depends. I'm not your pawn.
I know.
I'm not your underling.
I know. Now, listen to me, okay? The driver, I convinced her to turn her violence towards the stranger. That's why we're here. That's why she's not killing us. That's why, you know, that's why we haven't been trying to scurry on out of here. I know I'm not asking you to like her or to trust her.
I detest her, Walter.
Yeah, and that's perfectly fine. Like I sort of said earlier, she's not really a real person, so it doesn't matter all that much to me. But you're real and your actions matter.
What do you mean by real?
I mean you're real. Like I'm real and like Dorothy is real and... like, the sheriff is real, Rose is real.
What does that mean, Walter?
I mean, you're not from here. You're not from the Sublime.
Yeah, I know I'm not from the Sublime.
Well, the driver is. A lot of people here are.
How does that make her any less real? Sublime seems like just a real place to me. My leg feels very real, Walter. Everything that's happened here feels pretty real.
It is. What we're experiencing is very real. But... it's all a part of his agenda. He wants us to be hurt, so he's hurting us. And he's using his little creations to do that. But like I said, I pulled a little trick on him. I turned one of his own against him.
Yeah, for now.
Yeah.
Dakota looks back at Walter and goes, fine. You said you wish for something, and you have knowledge. Fine. I'm done pulling punches, though.
Good.
Walter, I very much mean it.
I think this is when Dorothy walks in.
I like to think, by the way, that when I left, I didn't slam the door behind me. I just threw open the door and left.
Okay.
So when I go back to check on Walter, I'm sitting at the door frame, out of sight, but listening to what's going on inside. I guess I've heard that last little bit.
Well, can we keep going if Dorothy's listening?
Yeah. Even that wasn't technically to stop you either.
Okay.
So yeah.
I've kept it to a minimum since we've gotten here, because I don't like Dorothy watching me do anything, because I don't want her to think it's okay to do these things. I know it's not okay, but it's who I am, it's what I have to do. But that kid doesn't care about me anymore, doesn't want me home with them, doesn't want me in their life, so I'm done, okay? And then Dakota leans in, once again, rolling into Walter, it's like, and you will not refer to me as her sister again. Am I clear?
Yeah, I get it.
No, you don't. Dakota walks over and sits on the bed, puts their leg up.
Walter walks, close to the bed and just says, regardless of what you call it, it doesn't make her need you any less. She needs you. And then he walks out of the room.
Where to?
Literally, it like just to stand somewhere that is not in this room. He just wants to be away from this.
Gotcha. Your options are the bathroom or pass Dorothy outside.
I think he goes outside.
Dorothy, you see as Walter kind of storms past you.
Are you okay, Walter?
I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm fine. You know, I'm not hurt. I'm not. I'm still here.
I was worried Dakota might hurt you.
Nah, I don't think they have it in them.
I don't know. I've seen that look before. Not on Dakota, but I've seen it, and bad things happen with that look.
I think as the two of you stand out here by the door, you hear the sound of someone approaching from down the walkway, and you turn to see Brittany returning. She's got two boxes of pipe and hot pizzas coming down. As she gets closer to you all, she turns to look down and goes, why are you outside?
Walter just says, little internal conflict.
She turns to look through the door and sees Dakota sitting on the bed, leg propped up. And she goes, oh, she's awake. Good. And just turns and walks into the bedroom of the motel. She tosses one box of pizza on the bed next to you, Dakota, and then like puts one box on like the little table in the corner. And you can see the box, it's got like the typical like red, white, and green like color palette. And it's like a green brick stove. You can see like the red fire like in the middle. You see like there's a guy like kind of dark skin wearing like a chef's hat, like a chef coat with a little pizza paddle, pizza stone, whatever. And his hand's like going into the oven, giving like a little okay sign. And the title and the like name of the place is called Butler Pizzeria.
I want to say something real quick. Can we vote that Kendrick's not allowed to describe the pizza? Is that fine?
Come on. There's just pizza inside. We get it.
There's just pizza inside.
All right. I'm sorry, our viewing audience. My players do not want me to describe food.
I just don't want you. You're gonna make me order a pizza right now, and that's not something I need.
Okay, that's totally fair. She puts the pizza down on the table and puts one on the bed next to you, Dakota. And she goes to open up the one that's on the table and takes out a slice of pizza and takes a bite of it.
Okay, can I at least peek inside the box and note the toppings very briefly?
You sure?
Like edging us at the pizza.
Very briefly, just I just want to know what's on the pizza.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. You Dakota, you like kind of put your hand over, you kind of creak it open a little bit, take a little peek inside, and you feel the warmth of the pizza as it wafts out of the pizza box, and the aromas fill this room.
Don't you dare.
And you see it's a pretty classic pepperoni and sausage pizza, thick crust.
Okay. Oh, that's fantastic. Incredible. Yeah, I'd say Dakota kind of nods to Brittany, kind of just like a quick little nod, and then kind of does a thing where you have to like use both hands to get like the first piece out. Because like, yeah, they're all just like, they cut it, but like they didn't really like cut it.
Actually,
oh,
this pizza is perfectly cut.
Oh, whoa. My god. Oh.
How dare you?
Dakota's mind is warped and changed.
It's got one of those like little like white tables, you know, in the middle of it that like separates the thing but also keeps it so the box can't like crush the pizza.
So Dakota picks up the slice with ease. Mm-hmm. Is it foldable or no?
What do you want it to be?
I want it to be foldable.
It's foldable.
Okay. Dakota like folds the piece in half and like starts like going to town.
It's the best pizza you've ever had in your life.
Shut up.
I will say it's the best pizza you ever had in your life.
I say after taking that bite, Dakota lowers the box top down and kind of stares at the name of the pizzeria.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay.
Oh, fuck. I just made the connection.
I didn't. I missed the name.
That took me so fucking long. God damn it.
The name of the place is called Butler Pizzeria.
Got it.
For our audience, if you don't remember, Butler was Marley's last name.
Yeah, I was an idiot and I was just like picturing a cartoon butler on the box. Like it's Little Caesars, except it's like a little butler instead of a...
That might actually be what it is. Maybe that's the kind of... The person is like the character in the box is like dressed in like a butler's uniform rather than like a typical chef kind of deal.
May I ask a setting question of what time of day is it now? Is this dinner? Is this like evening? I was picturing it as dusk, but I don't know.
Well, when I got shot, it was like dark.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, because this is also technically the same day.
It's the same day as the taco stand.
Yeah, this is also technically the same day as the rose stuff.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. Holy fuck. Wow, so it's like real it's late, isn't it?
Yeah, it's late. It's late.
Should we just go to bed?
That's kind of what I was wondering. I was starting to be like, we need to go to bed.
Can we just eat pizza and go to bed?
Pass out.
Totally could. It's kind of, so I guess to set the scene now that I know that it's like nighttime. It's dark outside. There are lights, like lanterns that are on the corners of each of like the turns into of the U-shaped motel. And outside, like, each door is also, like, a little light as well. And the pool lights in the pool that everything is kind of centered around illuminate with, like, I'm imagining the lights of the pool being green. And so, like, the top of the water shimmering with this kind of orange mm-hmm. lights from the ambient lights, and then like green from underneath, like kind of mixing and melding together as the pool lightly kind of bobs just from like natural disturbances. And yeah, Walter and Dorothy, you're still just standing outside of the motel here.
I think Walter like inches his way back in after a while, like
mm-hmm.
I'd say that once everyone like starts to like once like Dakota sees people like starting to come back to the room, probably eating like two slices of pizza, grabs a pillow off of the bed and use the cane to walk to the bathroom and like throws the pillow into the bathtub and then locks the door.
Gotcha.
Damn, hope no one had to use the bathroom.
Yeah, rip, right.
There's a pool.
There's a pool. God. Yeah. I come back in and I eat some pizza with Walter.
Elsie follows you inside. Walter, Brittany kind of turns to you after a bit and says, so where are we going tomorrow?
I'm trying to remember. We had plans.
Do you want me to refresh you or?
Yes.
I think we were going to the motorcycle bar, weren't we?
Right.
But that was also when you guys didn't have a ride.
Yeah,
we got a ride now.
Yeah.
As like things that you all have talked about as far as goals. So getting out, your plan was to go to the border cities, to meet up with Kit Kraft again, who you remember having an idea for like how to get out and such. Or you at least know like the rebellion that they were leading, like believed in that kind of stuff. That was like your like closest approximation of what to do, where to go. You know, from where you are now, even driving, it's still like a couple of days out, if I'm remembering correctly. Much shorter than if you walked, but still like, you know, a little bit of a ways. So
yeah,
whatever you think you guys need for like whatever journey that you're gonna do. Or wherever you're going in that journey.
I think we just... Yeah, I mean, I think we just head to the border cities. I think we're going there, right? Like, we don't really need to... Although, didn't we have a name for the biker bar? Did we have a name for it?
It was like something Hogs or something, wasn't it?
I remember giggling at it because I thought it was funny.
I've lost that notebook, so I have no idea.
Ah, shit.
But
yeah, it was definitely something Hog. Yeah, so I think Walter says, well, we're headed to the border cities.
Got it. So we'll need supplies.
I guess so, yeah.
All right. Tomorrow we can go into town, get stuff that we'll need, food, ammunition, medical supplies, things like that. Is there anywhere specific we are going or someone specific we are meeting? Is that where the stranger is?
Yes. At the very least, we can get access to the stranger from there.
Good.
In any case, we're looking for someone named Kit Kraft. Does that name mean anything to you?
She takes a moment to think. I don't believe so.
Ah, okay. Well, I think we'll be able to ask around when we get to the city.
Yes. All right. And she gets up. There's still like some leftover pizza like in the thing, so she just kind of leaves it out for all of you. And then she just kind of lays down in the bed, like takes her like boots off and lays down on like the top cover of the bed, like just like sitting, like laying down, facing straight up.
Spooky.
And God. And closes her eyes.
Oh, jeez.
It's kind of badass.
It's badass in the way that like the Terminator's badass. In the way where it's like, I'm still scared of this thing, but that's kind of cool.
No, 100%.
What up, what up? It's me, your boy, Kendo, doing the mid-roll for this episode. As always, thank you all so much for listening. It means the world to us that you take time out of your very busy schedule to listen to our little podcast here. And as always, if you don't already follow us on social media, what are you doing? Go straight to Twitter and Instagram right now, type in @TalesYetTold, and follow us. Twitter is where we post all of the information about upcoming episodes, sharing character art, kind of just doing little bits and gabs, you know, that kind of stuff, trying to engage with you more. And so if you want to know about what's going on, Twitter's the place you want to be. You can also join our Discord. The link is in the link pages on the bios of both of those social media pages. So if you want to, you know what's going on, go there, follow us, and hang out with us on our Discord server. And if you're a fan of the podcast, don't forget to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podchaser, or wherever it is you're listening to our podcast and are able to do that, because it's the best way to get other people to know the greatness that is Tales Yet Told and get new people to listen. Another great way is to just tell your friends. I constantly gush to all of my friends about my favorite podcast, trying to get them interested. And as we are trying to grow our audience and our community, you know, word of mouth is going to be one of the best ways, because that way people know it's from the heart. If it is from the heart, I hope it's from the heart. Please let it be from the heart. And last but not least, I want to give a huge shout out to the Be Gay Roll Dice Network for allowing us to be a part of our queer little family. It means so much to us to be able to, you know, be side by side with other queer creators creating content about people like us, for people like us, and just being able to share in the joy that is queer TTRPGs. And I have an ad coming up for, you know, one of the shows like in a couple of seconds now, so I'm going to get right to that. But of course, don't forget to eat enough food, drink enough water, get enough sleep, and take care of yourself, because self-care is important. And don't forget to love yourself like I love you. Bye.
The year is 2225, and the end of the universe is nigh. Welcome to the Junket Podcast. The Junket Podcast is an actual play and really gay TTRPG adventure currently running the Maelstrom campaign, a science fiction take on Dungeons & Dragons 5th edition featuring spaceships, space aliens, and a whole bunch of space gays. Follow a found family of misfits and miscreants on a cosmic caper that features science and magic, love, loss, and a whole lot of laughter. Who knows, maybe they'll even save the universe or something along the way. Did that tickle your fancy? If it did, new episodes launch every other Thursday at 5 p.m. GMT on all major and minor podcasting platforms. See you soon in the Maelstrom Galaxy.
Ready to get your hands dirty and stuff some creds in your pocket? Then get ready for Cyber Plus Punk Overload, the first official expansion of the award-winning sci-fi action TTRPG, Cyber Plus Punk. This game is powered by a super-condensed version of John Harper's Forged in the Dark system, made specifically for action-packed one-shot sessions. Cyber Plus Punk puts you in the boots of a runner, living on the edge and stalking the shadows of a gritty, ultra-violent world full of megacorps, mercs, and pigs, all looking to f*** you over. And guess what? You've got one last run. Overload is a collection of 16 new scenarios that drop you into mega-prisons, reality TV shows, time loops, Badlands, and even the Netscape. Plus, you get additional add-ons, including gear catalogs, new plug-in rule sets, and complete settings, all bundled into three sleek thematic packs. Ain't that just grand? And if that's not enough, if you back Cyber Plus Punk Overload on Kickstarter, you can even get an exclusive holo foil sleeve, making it seamless to take your game anywhere you're going. Now what the f*** are you waiting for? Go to Kickstarter now and back Cyber Plus Punk Overload, and good luck, runner. You're gonna need it.
Your next favorite game is on My First Dungeon.
Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon.
Hello and welcome to My First Dungeon.
Ho, 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 and welcome to My First Dungeon.
From Sad Space Cowboys,
Kamari takes out a lighter from their pocket and goes, "This bar's next."
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Let's go.
To Death Metal Viking Cats.
Hello Kitty, you see Melody Tuffington flying through the air, jacked as shit, massive legs, to horny snowmen?
The sad part is that Joshua never gave Frosty a penis.
No.
And everything in between.
It was a dark and stormy night.
We've got something for everyone.
You're a special Gertrude girl in a special Gertrude role. Happy birthday, happy birthday. I'm not a skeleton.
Learn the game, then hear it in action.
That's snake eyes minus two. That's a zero.
Snake eyes, that means that we have our very first plot twist. Anytime somebody rolls doubles, we get a plot twist.
So grab some headphones.
And get lost in a story with us.
I'll be honest, I don't know all the rules of it. We'll kind of figure that out as we go. But do you want to just play? I've got some great stories to tell you.
And remember, if you're having fun, you're already doing it right.
Oh, fuck!
Walter, Dorothy, do either of you do anything?
Yeah, Walter, Walter eats. I don't think he can eat a whole piece of pizza, but, you know.
Dorothy eats two whole slices of pizza.
Nice. Do you offer any to Elsie?
Yeah, of course.
She eats a slice.
Good for her.
Walter watches Dorothy drop a slice of pizza on the ground.
Yeah, 100%. Oh, no.
And he's just like, I'm too tired to even acknowledge this.
I also take part of my second slice and I put it in my pumpkin for the two turtles.
Nice.
And then I contemplate the fact that I have two turtles for a moment and I'm like, I haven't named the other one.
Yeah.
So I decide to focus on that instead of all the other things I definitely should be focusing on, because I don't want to focus on those things.
Yeah, denial.
Denial.
It's healthy, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely.
Okay. You focus in on your turtles, you know, for a while, and then eventually...
Can I take a little gander at my turtles?
Yeah, let's take a gander. Let's take a gander. First roll of the session.
Hey!
very nice. You take a long, hard look around, describe what you were looking into, and roll plus noodle.
What do I add to that? Fuck, still a nine. One truth and one lie.
Yeah, ask your GM two of the following questions. One is true, other a lie. Ask me a question about the babies.
Okay. What are they thinking?
Ooh, this is interesting, actually.
Yeah. What are they thinking? And I guess my other one, what's going on here?
Okay. Huh. Specifically about the turtles, correct?
Yeah. Okay, no. Cool. I don't like that look.
Okay, cool. So you're looking down, you drop a piece of pizza in here for these two turtles.
Not a full piece, like kind that's
of,
good.
A part of a piece of pizza.
I just need to clarify that Dorothy has only wasted one slice of pizza dropping it on the floor. She's not giving a whole slice of pizza to the turtles as well. All right, cool.
That's fair. You put some of the pizza into the pumpkin. You see the two turtles slowly crawl over to it and nibble at it a little bit. And you see one of the turtles, not Timmy, the one that isn't named yet, looks up at you like as it's like munching on a piece of pizza. And it looks at you with a level of intelligence that you did not imagine. Like, this is like the first time that like you've seen this like kind of look from one of these, like an animal in general. Probably not every animal, like, but it's like the look where like you're looking at it and looks back at you, and something about the way it looks at you, you're like, I know what you're thinking. Like, it almost feels too human in a way. Mm-hmm. And you're looking at this turtle looking up at you, and you can swear what it's thinking is, thank you so much. I was so hungry. I thought I was going to starve. Thank you for rescuing me. It's like, those are like, that's like the inner monologue that Dorothy is having, looking at it. It's like, oh, this is what he's thinking.
Oh my gosh.
And so that's the answer to, like, what are they thinking? And then to what is going on here? I think there is, like, you know, as you're, like, thinking about, like, naming this turtle, right, that's looking back up at you. Like, I imagine, like, you know, one of the easiest things is, like, okay, what are other names that I know? Like, oh, maybe I can do something with, like, you know, something about its personality or, like, something about, like, oh, where did I find it, right? And so you're thinking about, like, back to the laundromat and, like, all of the stuff that was going on there. And then I think there's, like, this moment where you kind of, something clicks for Dorothy where she realizes that it's kind of weird that she, that, like, why are these turtles in electronic devices? This is, like, very, very strange. Because both, you know, the Timmy you found on the inside of a jukebox and this one you found on the inside of, it, of like a large industrial dryer. And so, like, there's something really interesting about that. And I think I think what occurs to Dorothy is, well, maybe that's, like, how the electronics work, right? Maybe the turtles power it somehow. And that is your answer to what is going on here.
Hmm. Okay. I stare down into this turtle's eyes. It's looking at me with a weird sort of intelligence. And go, I think I'm going to call you Toby. Timmy and Toby.
Toby goes down, takes another bite of the pizza, and looks back up, munching.
I think that's good.
You hear Elsie, who's next to you, go, I think that's a good name. And Walter, there's a, you hear it when Elsie says that.
Mm. Ha! Huh. Hmm.
I think so too, Elsie.
Also, just thinking in my head, which one was the lie?
Yeah, yeah. No, that's... Hmm.
Wow.
I think Walter goes, huh?
I don't know if I really acknowledge that because I don't think you're talking to me because why would you be?
Right. When he gets no response, he goes like, Dorothy?
Yeah, Walter?
You say something?
Not to you.
To Elsie.
Yeah. I was just talking about naming the turtle.
Uh-huh.
Dorothy, I think you, like, as you, like, kind of, like, yeah, and, like, kind of look over towards Elsie, I think there's something about Elsie that, like, seems frightened, almost. Like, almost taken aback by Walter's, like, sudden piqued interest, where it's just, like, she feels off. She feels nervous and anxious.
Elsie, what's wrong? Do you not... I thought you liked the name Toby. I thought it was good.
It's a good name. And Walter, you hear that too.
Oh shit. I think what we see here is, like, Walter, like, turns and just says, yeah, Elsie, it is a good name. And but he's, like, totally not facing the right direction. He's, like, in the right general spot, but it would be like, yeah, it would be like if someone was, like, talking to you and they're just, like, looking, like, 2 feet to the right of you. Like, it's just that.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Yeah, you do that. You and Dorothy, you can see Elsie is, like, terrified by this response. She kind of, like, cowers behind you a little bit.
Walter, you can hear Elsie?
Yeah, I can.
That's new?
Yeah, it sure is.
Okay.
Elsie, do you want to weigh in on this?
Elsie, what's wrong?
He's not supposed to be able to see me or hear me.
Yeah, I don't see you. I can definitely hear you.
Why not? It's just Walter.
Yeah, but he's just not supposed to be able to hear me.
Why is that so scary to you? You're just my friend. And
I don't want him to hurt me.
Now, Elsie, why would you think I would want to hurt you?
Because you're going to want to take me away from Dorothy.
Why would I do that?
Because you're mean.
Am I? It's kind of a subjective opinion.
Dorothy, I don't trust him.
Elsie, why would I not be able to hear you?
Because you're not supposed to.
But who makes those rules?
She doesn't respond.
Elsie, why is there rules?
Most people, when they're talking, I can just hear them. So what makes you different?
Because I'm Dorothy's friend. I'm her only friend. The only one she can trust.
Hey, Dorothy.
What?
Am I your friend? You can be honest.
I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
You know, I've had friends before, Elsie. Other people could hear them. Again, what makes you different?
Some Dorothy's special friend. It's just the two of us. Dorothy, I don't want to be around him anymore. And you see she starts, like, kind of tugging on you to, like, in the direction of the door.
Walter says, oh, so you're saying you're different. You're different from most people, yeah?
Dorothy, let's go.
Elsie.
So if you're different, what are you?
Dorothy, he's going to try to take me away.
I'm not.
Elsie, he's trying to help us get back.
He's going to try to take me away, Dorothy.
I'm just curious.
Stop asking her questions, Walter. It's making her uncomfortable. She's just not used to this.
Hey, Kendrick.
Yes?
Can I use a move?
What move would you like to use, Walter?
I would like to use my very special, very unique new Walter move.
Most certainly you can. I think this is our first time, like, officially rolling it as well.
Yeah.
So that's very fun. Do you want to read this move out loud?
Yeah, I've been scrolling through our past messages to find it because I forgot to copy it down like an idiot.
Oh, I can pin it in our messages.
Oh, cool. Oh, I don't know. You can. Okay, yeah. So this is a move called Code Review. You have seen the source code before, and you can still catch glimpses if you try hard enough. Roll plus noodle. On a 7 plus, you can tell if someone you can... it says someone if I can see.
We can change that.
Okay.
Because I made this move, so yeah.
Yeah, Kendrick made this move.
Can tell if someone in your presence.
Okay. Is an AI or not? If they are, then on a 10 plus, choose 2 from the list below. On a 7 and 9, choose 1 from the list below. Your peering into the source code goes unnoticed. You ask the GM what the AI's purpose is. You ask the AI what its desire is. So I'm going to roll.
Yeah. Roll plus noodle.
Ooh, boy. What is my noodle? That's an 11.
11. All right. You get to choose 2 from that list.
I'm gonna have this peering go unnoticed.
Oh, really? You sure? Okay, cool.
I think so.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. No one's gonna know this happened. This is just between us.
I just think it's safe.
Yeah, I just
wanna be... I feel like with the phone call with the stranger, Walter has been tempting fate quite a bit lately, so...
Yeah, for sure.
I want to know what its purpose is.
Okay. Walter, your vision kind of glazes over for a moment as you peer back into the source code of the Sublime. Everything around you glitches with a kind of orange purplish light, and you can see strands of code that weave around and make everything around you. And in that, you also see almost like a silhouette of code near Dorothy, where you would imagine Elsie currently is. And you quickly read through the code, and you immediately get a sense of what is this AI's purpose. And, well, for the first thing, you do know that it is an AI of some sort. It is some kind of programming. And you realize that this is a virus that is latched on to Dorothy. And it's a very familiar virus because it is one that you have seen in many others and yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the purpose of this AI, or the purpose of this virus, is to incite the transformation of Dorothy into an animal.
Yep, cool. Okay, I think Walter says, Dorothy, look, I need you to know. I need you to understand. Elsie thinks that she's the only one that you can trust. Elsie thinks that she's your only friend, and she's wrong about both of those, okay? I need you to believe me.
He's just trying to trick you. Dorothy. He wants to take me away. Come on, we have to go.
What do you mean, Walter? Dakota's not my friend. I don't know if you are. That driver's not my friend.
I am your friend, I'm telling you now. Please, let me...
Dorothy, let's go! And she tugs on you a little harder.
If I'm not your friend, then let me be your friend. Like, Dorothy, don't go with her.
Walter, I...
Dorothy, she's not real. Dorothy...
What do you mean?
Dorothy, she's the...
I am real!
She's the same thing that turned me into a weasel.
No, I'm not!
Walter, I know Elsie's not real, but she's my friend. And she has been for a lot longer than you have.
I mean, she's not just in your imagination. She's part of the Sublime. I think the stranger or someone got in your head when you got here, Dorothy, and they found Elsie and they made this thing. This isn't the real Elsie.
Stop lying to her.
Dorothy, I'm your friend.
Walter.
Elsie does one last tug at you, Dorothy, to get you to move with her.
Elsie, it's dark out. I don't want to go out there yet.
You'll be fine. We're together.
Dorothy, please.
If you don't want to come with me, then I'll go by myself. Since you believe him more than me. And she runs out.
Elsie, no! I grab my pumpkin and I run after her.
Dorothy! Dorothy! No! Dorothy! And I think Walter runs after her too.
Okay, cool. The two of you, you know, run outside chasing after one another. We're gonna cut into the bathroom. Dakota, I don't know how much sleep you've been getting. I don't know if you've been hearing all this yelling that's going on outside.
Dakota's heard everything. Yeah,
you've heard everything except for Elsie's voice.
First of all, what? Yeah, I mean, I guess Dakota hears everyone clamor out and goes, well, shit. And once again, lumbers out of that tub. groaning, moving, unlocks the door, whips it open, and looks out there and is like, great. And looks at the sleeping woman on the bed and goes...
Sorry, keep going.
No, wait, is there something to add there?
I was going to say, as you come out and you like kind of take a sock and like kind of like do your deep breath, I think her eyes open.
I thought you were going to say she's not there and I was like, oh!
No, she's there. She's there.
She goes, where'd they go? Where'd they run off to?
Outside, I think. They're loud.
Well, let's go get them.
And you see, she rises up. Just like at an angle.
I hate it.
Wait, like like the Exorcist, like by
like if she's the Undertaker.
Wait, by her waist or by her heels?
By her, no, by her waist, by her.
Like
the Undertaker, like rise up, not like she, like
not yes. Like the Exorcist.
No, not like the Exorcist. And she gets up and says, "Think you'll be able to keep up?"
No.
All right. And
bye then.
She opens up a drawer.
Oh no.
Takes out a handgun, puts it in her waist.
No.
Puts it in her waistband.
Don't do that though.
No.
Dakota walks out the door.
Alright, she follows you. You all run off. You guys are running off into the night. Dorothy, you are following behind Elsie. She is running down the path back towards like where the U, where the right turn of the U of the building happens. She runs down that way, and you can tell just by like the path that she's going that she's heading off towards the parking lot. And I think as you follow her out towards that path, you end up getting to the parking lot. You see there are like a couple of cars like parked out here, including the driver's car. And you lose sight of her, but you in the way where like you see her like turn like behind like one of the cars, and then like as you're going out to like you see and like, ah man, she's not behind the car anymore, man, now she's hiding like somewhere in between these cars. And Walter, you're not terribly behind Dorothy as well.
Elsie, please come back.
You hear her like out amongst the cars, who's like, you trust him more than you trust me.
Oh,
want. I'm just, I don't know why you're trying to make me choose.
Because he wants to take me away from you. They all do.
Walter said he wouldn't, and Walter hasn't taken anything else away from me. So I'm going to believe him. I don't know why you're so distrustful.
She doesn't respond.
Elsie, please. I just want to go to bed. Elsie, if you were really my friend, you'd come out and talk to me.
Not with him.
Can you please just go back to the room and go to bed?
It sounds like you're trying to grift her. You try to convince someone to do something against their self-interest.
Yeah.
Deception, intimidation, persuasion, whatever. Roll plus mush.
Cool. It's a flat roll then. That's a 10.
Hey. A 10 plus, they trust you and will do what you say as long as it doesn't endanger them directly.
And she should.
You see her kind of make her way out of the cars, like kind of like looking at you like from behind one of them and says, okay, I'll come. But he has to leave me alone.
I'll make sure.
Promise?
I'll have Walter stop questioning you, yes.
Okay.
I just want this day to end. Let's go to bed.
She silently follows you.
I guess Walter just sees me turn around. And...
Yeah.
Well, he probably heard that, right?
Well,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, Walt, yeah. Yeah, Walter.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, you did.
I don't know how close behind he was.
I am. You could.
You'd hear that last part at least, where yeah, he said, okay, I'd yeah. have you stop questioning her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Walter just like silently nods.
Yeah, I give Walter a meaningful look. Yeah.
And, yeah.
I brush past him and just go back toward the room.
Okay. I imagine you follow Walter.
Yeah.
The three of you are turning to walk back and you come across the driver and an exhausted driver and an exhausted Dakota who are like trailing behind all of you as the three of you are walking back.
I run past Dakota so that I don't let them get in a word.
Yeah, Walter.
Walter just like walks past and I think to the driver he just kind of like nods and just goes like, hey. And to Dakota, he says quieter, he just says, we're I know this is always the case, but we are really in danger now. I don't know if there's really anything we can do about it other than stay alert. You know,
I mean, there's nothing you can do about it. You just choose not to.
This is complicated.
It's not. You make your choice, Walter. Then Dakota walks back inside.
Shit. Walter walks back inside.
The driver walks back inside, kind of huffs, sits down, and like lays back down. Same position, eyes closed. I imagine Dakota goes back into the bathroom.
This time leaves the door. No, actually locks the door. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I went over and I grabbed one of the decorative pillows that, you know, are just bad pillows, honestly. But I grab it and I curl up over by the table.
Okay. Walter, where do you sleep?
I think Walter just sleeps on the floor.
By, like over just by himself.
Yeah. It's a rough day.
It's been a real bad day for all of y'all.
Yeah, like to put it in perspective, we like woke up this morning at the carnival, right? Like
with Marley.
With Marley.
You all woke up in a cuddle puddle.
We had a good night's sleep. We had breakfast.
We were getting along.
It was a grand old time.
Uh-huh.
Things got so bad.
Oh,
the turntables.
Remember when we all just got along and had like a nice little breakfast moment?
At the beginning of this day?
Yeah.
You guys had years worth of trauma in the course of the day.
Yeah, pretty much.
Interesting. Also, just in my mind, I was imagining Walter was going to like take a blanket and like curl up in the sink like a little nest.
But oh my gosh.
Aw, man, that's good. I don't know if he would want to sleep in the same room as Dakota after this, but...
Well, like, there's a kitchen sink.
Oh, there is a kitchen sink.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still think he just sleeps on the floor.
No, that makes more sense. But sink Walter makes me smile.
You all have a night's sleep, and you all wake up in the morning.
Wait.
Yeah?
I want to wake up early.
Okay. Before everyone else?
Yeah.
Okay. You have a night's sleep. You wake up earlier than it feels like you should have. You see Elsie is like laying beside you. The driver is still laying on the bed in their weird corpse-like position. You see Walter laying down on the ground. on the like the other side of the room.
Is Elsie next to me?
Yeah, Elsie is next to you.
I shake her awake. Elsie.
Yeah?
You have a plan about where we could go?
The lady said there was a town nearby, right?
Yeah.
We could go there.
Are you going to be able to get me back home?
I don't know if I'll be able to get you to the Abbott's, but I do think, I think I can get us to where we belong. Someplace safe. Where people will want us, not try to tear us apart.
That's all I want, is someone to want me around.
I know, Dorothy. Me too.
All right, let's go. I get up and I take a last look over at Walter at the closed bathroom door. I scrounge up a piece of paper and I place it on the table and I put the bullet on top of it and I go out the door.
As you and Elsie are walking towards the door, she says, I think I might even know a faster way for us to get there. And she goes over to the table and grabs a pair of keys.
Oh my God.
And runs out the door with you.
I didn't know you could drive, Elsie.
I don't know if I can, but we can figure it out.
Oh my God.
All right, let's go.
And that's where we're going to end this session.
Fuck.
Thank you all for listening to this episode. This has been wonderful. As you can tell, things are getting serious. As both Stranger and Walter said, the game has changed. And I'm so excited to see where this all goes, baby.
It all goes to hell. That's where it
hell in a handbasket.
Oh yeah.
Firebird,
Pontiac Firebird. That's where it
goes. Yep, two kids driving a Pontiac Firebird down the highway.
Oh my gosh.
What no way this could end game. Badly.
No way it could end badly. Just a brief bit of housekeeping again. Gus, where can people find you?
You can find me on the internet, on social media platforms, at August Nobby. I think my Twitter is August_Nobby, and I don't think it was always that. I'm pretty sure it changed. I don't think I changed it, but I think it, whatever.
Wait, it's August_Nobby?
Yeah, I think it is.
Oh.
Whoa.
I don't know when or why that happened, but that's me. I do music. I do the music for this podcast and also other music. You can find my other music at the aforementioned social media platforms. I'm really bad at doing these.
You're totally fine. Hilda, where can people follow your cat?
Instagram. Follow Elliot the kitty cat. There's two L's and two T's in Elliot, and he needs a dedicated fan base.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start plugging Hilda's cat instead of myself. I'm just going to.
Just more Elliot. Followers.
So like, hi, I'm Gus. You can find Hilda's cat at.
Marcy, where can people find you?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Soapy Squid, SoapieSquid. I appreciate y'all listening. It really means a lot.
Absolutely. And you all can find me on social media at Kendo Makes Films. You can find me on all forms of social media at that tag. And you can also follow this podcast on Twitter and Instagram at Tales Yet Told. And you can send us an email at talesyettoldpod.com talesyettoldpod@gmail.com, where you can send us your thoughts, feedback, questions, concerns, love, and admiration, and stuff like that.
Did we get to Discord already?
There's a Discord now. Yay!
Woo! Hey!
You've probably heard it in multiple mid-rolls up until this point, but for us, it is fairly new.
Woo!
That is a weird part of doing things like this, isn't it?
There's a Discord out. You can find that link on our bios. It's we have a link page in the bio of our Twitter and Instagram. You can find a link to the Discord server in there. Discord server is just like a community Discord. We're trying to, you know, cultivate a little community here within the TTRPG space to love and support each other, talk about the things we're passionate about, including this show. So Gasp.
Speaking about things that we're passionate about, I need to give a shout out to who was it? Is Imodian? I don't know how to say their name.
Yeah.
Yes. Thank you for changing my life and telling me about funnel cake fries. My life will never be the same.
Yes.
I'm passionate about these fries now, and I needed to throw out a thank you.
I still haven't been to one yet to get some, but you've really changed the game.
I really have.
The game has changed.
The game has changed.
As the stranger said.
The game has changed. Yeah, don't forget to rate us on, all the stuff on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and Podchaser. Thank you also for so much, and we will see you all next week. Don't forget to eat enough food, drink enough water, get enough sleep, take care of yourself, because self-care is important, especially in the days that we've been in now. And don't forget to love yourself like we love you. Bye.
My friends. Bye. Take care.
LGBTQIA Actual Play Podcast Network.